it off with almost incredible fundraising amounts that Governor Raimondo has been bringing in. We've never really seen anyone been able to raise this kind of money before. It is a full-time operation. The money comes in, and what you really what I find most astounding is she truly is just in a league of her own as far as as far as raising money. People can question whether or not she's an effective governor, but no one can question that one thing that Gina Raimondo is very good at is raising money.
Well, that's true. It's almost though like when Rhode Island has some star on a reality TV show or something, and we say, look, he's the most famous person in Rhode Island. Well, yeah, he went out of the state to become famous on a reality show or something like that. The governor's doing something very similar. In response to hearing the story today, I went on Rhode Island's campaign finance site and downloaded all her campaign donations. And during 2017, this year, she has raised only 31% of her money in Rhode Island. So 69% is from elsewhere, which is a huge amount. If you look at Alan Fung's take for this, Republican mayor of Cranston for this year so far, 99% of his campaign donations are from within Rhode Island. So it's really almost an unfair comparison. We've never seen anybody like this because nobody's gone out of state for so much of their money before.
You know, it's actually true. And again, it's more on the Facebook thing. People are saying that they can't hear the guests. But Justin, obviously, everyone listening on the radio at AM 1540. They can hear you. You know, Justin, that's a good point. And I think this goes into what you just mentioned. This is part of the Raimondo machine where they get these very flattering articles written about her in whether it be in the Chicago Tribune or the New York Times or the Washington Post, then are then sent out. It's really an incredible operation that she has, where so much of the money are coming from out of town donors.
Oh yeah, and we've been talking about this for weeks. How the local politicians who are kind of going up against her, whether in the GOP side or are politically on policy in government, say Speaker Mattiello in Cranston as well, they're all locally focused, and she's nationally focused. I mean, even before this year, her campaign donations from elsewhere. Only her entire career, as far as the campaign finance site shows, her in-state donations are only 51%. So she's still getting over 7 years and 8 years, 49% of her donations from out of state. And before this year, this is interesting, before this year, her out-of-state donations were huge, over $500 on average, whereas her Rhode Island donations were closer to $400 each. So she's getting a lot of money from out of state. And it makes you wonder what their interests are in Rhode Island as opposed to Rhode Islanders' interests. That does create an interesting picture as things fall apart here with the DMV or UHIP. The other day in the Newport Daily News, actually, there was a story that the state isn't certifying school bus drivers enough, and it's causing all kinds of problems in Tiverton, it mentioned, but elsewhere as well. And so things aren't getting done within the state, but somehow the governor is very popular nationally and can get people to give her a lot of money nationally, presumably who don't know what's going on here and are looking for some other angle from the governor. But that to me is the story. What are they buying with their money?
Well, that's the thing. How much do you think that this scares off? And again, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, how much do you think this type of war chest scares off someone that would maybe think or flirt with the idea of challenging her in a primary?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. Especially on the right, there's such an open stage. If you want to run for governor, you pretty much can. So I think people do know in Rhode Island, everybody does have a sense that it's a relatively small market. So you can, with a little work, counteract a whole lot, a disproportionate money, because, you know, maybe you don't do TV as much, but, you know, you're out there. And if your message resonates, and I think that's what's going to be important, people are going to run if they feel they have a message. Somebody who's just running because it's at stage in their political career might look at the money, especially in a primary among the Democrats, might look at the money and say, okay, why don't I try for Senate or Lieutenant Governor or something else, rather than go up against that machine. But I think people who are in it for kind of the right reasons will realize that with the right message, they've got a chance. And frankly, all of this out-of-state money is an obvious part of a campaign message from somebody who wants to compete with her.
Folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. You're listening to AM 1540. It's WADK. I want to say hello to everyone on Facebook Live. And for those that are on Facebook Live, we're trying to play around with the – oh, okay. I'm seeing that it says he's very faint. So I'm going to turn up those that are on Facebook Live. Again, go to John DePietro Show on Facebook, and I'm turning up the guest volume and see if that helps with Justin. And, Justin, I'm sorry if I'm distracting from you. Justin, I also want to get your take on, you know, Governor Chafee is certainly not, former Governor Chafee, not going anywhere, upping his criticism. Now he's including the tolls. Then he's talking about the 195 commission. He certainly, as much as I initially thought he was just kind of throwing rocks from the side of the road, I'm starting to think that he – there's so much dislike for Governor Raimondo. I wonder if he would, in fact, mount an independent challenge just to be a thorn in her side. And, I don't think she knows what to do about him right now.
Yeah, what it makes me think of is the first, 5 or 6 years of the Obama presidency, when you would see the bulletin boards of President W. Bush waving, and it would say, "Miss me yet?" I wonder if some of it, whether he runs or not, Chafee may just be trying to burnish his record to say, "See, I didn't do so badly. This next person's doing worse." But lately, I don't know, it's a kind of a strange feeling, but when he's right, he's right, especially on these crony capitalism deals. Almost anything we would do with this money would be better than pouring it into prospective companies coming in from out of state to take up government land. So could be he's gearing up for a race, but it could just be he wants to sort of, in retrospect, make his record look better. And sincerely, he probably also does think some of the things that the Governor Raimondo is doing are just wrong and wants to speak up, use what platform he has. But it'll be interesting to see in a year or two where he goes with this all, though.
Especially, you know what else, Justin? Just the fact that he's picking up, you know, truck tolls, and he's saying that the money should go into education, and you shouldn't be blowing money on deals with this. No, as we know, he was very hands-off as governor. There was no activity on that 195 land. But he, you know, one thing about former Governor Chafee, Justin, is he's not wrong about all these incentives that they're giving, you know, Wexford. I mean, $40 million. How is that possible that the state has to? I know Governor Runder says, well, it's not taxpayer money, but there's something wrong with the system that people have to, that we have to give that kind of money to lure somebody in. Like, why is it so much money in order to get them to do this project?
Well, that's kind of the system we've created, isn't it? I mean, we make it difficult to do things, so there's a high barrier for entry, and people who want to compete need to go to government for the little boost to get them over the hurdle so that they can enter into the market. And by the way, on this Wexford deal, keep an eye on this, because this is going to be a bigger issue as we go forward. I mean, I was talking about Governor Raimondo's out of state donations. I've looked into Wexford for the Ocean State Current before. In December, I had an article up there, and the connections between Wexford and the Brookings Institution, which, by the way, wrote Rhode Island's latest economic development plan, start to look kind of suspicious around the country. And every corner you go to, eventually you find a door that leads back to a Raimondo donor. So this whole deal is something to watch very, very carefully. I mean, 38 Studios was kind of a – which the Governor Chafee opposed, was kind of a, I don't know, an icky – thing, insider thing, sports fanatics, that kind of thing in the government. But this Wexford deal, there just is something off about it. So maybe he sniffed some of that out, and that's what's gotten under his skin.
Well, especially, you know, I've talked about in the past that the unions control that land, and you have to use all the unions when you're going to build on that land. So in some ways, I just wonder if this is almost like a rebate where, all right, we're going to overcharge you for how much you're going to spend to build on that land, but then we're going to kick you back, you know, $40 million just to build and bring your headquarters here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the unions are definitely the biggest piece of the graft and, you know, overcharging in order to force you to go to government to get relief. So the unions are the biggest piece, but it's across the board. It's just, you know, the regulations, the zoning, the this, the that, the hiring, the taxes, the things you have to do for your employees as a mandatory matter, all those things add into it. So, yeah, but from the beginning, selling this land, you know, everybody kind of knew that unions wanting construction jobs and et cetera were behind the idea of even moving 195 way back in the day, because it creates work for them. And it's a shame because companies that would want to come in and compete can't do it because we've raised this artificial bar. It's almost like a dam. You know, you build the dam so the water builds up, and then you've got to go to the guy who can open the dam so you can get your water out. That's basically what the government has done with regulations and taxes and such in Rhode Island.
Justin, what do you think is going to happen? Again, we're speaking with Justin Katz. What do you think is going to happen with Governor Mundo's free, well, they call it the free tuition plan, but taxpayer-funded tuition plan? I mean, basically, Mattiello, Joe Sakacci, the number two, they're all basically saying there's no money for it. Revenues are down. She is still going full blast that this is it. She had that conference call last week where she had, you know, on for the media and these different people, the governor of Tennessee. But what I found so deceiving is in Tennessee, yeah, it's free tuition. It's free tuition for community college, and it's free tuition for technical school. It's not free tuition if you want to pursue a liberal arts degree. So, you know, despite all these different obstacles, it's a total unknown. Governor Mundo seems to be going full speed ahead and will not get off, you know, this charted territory that she wants to have this Bernie Sanders created free tuition plan.
Yeah, well, since it's become a national topic with New York State doing it a week or two ago with the quote unquote free tuition, it seems to be a national push for this in the Democrat Party. In the past week or two, it has felt a little bit like the opposition is waking up and say, oh, wait, you're serious about this? We thought you were kidding. And so you're starting to see the articles come out about how bad an idea it is on the left and the right, actually. And maybe the governor's too committed to it at this point to back off in public. It'd be interesting to see if Speaker Mattiello or somebody else kind of throws her a line and allows her to look like she's negotiating it down, or just leaves her pushing for it. But she's invested a lot in it, I mean, including taxpayer money with the video we talked about last week. So it'd be kind of hard for her to back off it unless it's a clear – she can clearly turn around and say, look, I had to negotiate that away. And in retrospect, responding to your question, I mean, the video last week where she was saying, let's do it smart. You know, if somebody has a better plan, I'm all ears. That could almost be seen like a request. Please, somebody save me from having to push this anymore. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see in a few weeks and as the legislative session comes to a close.
You know, it's also, and again, folks, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of Ocean State Current. You know, Justin, it also, to me, puts her in a very vulnerable Governor Mundo now situation in trying to negotiate with Speaker Mattiello, because she's really laid her cards on the table of just how badly she wants this free tuition. And even, you know, trying to say, oh, it's a bipartisan thing. We even had the governor of Tennessee. He's a Republican. He says it's a good idea. He doesn't talk about that. He talks about in Tennessee it was for technical school. Now, Justin, New England Tech, they had their graduation on Sunday. Big Poppy, you know, got the doctorate and so forth. Now, there at the Dunkin' Donuts Center, New England Tech, I could support some kind of a program to fuel a lot of these Rhode Island high school students into technical programs. But to have them at CCRI taking psychology classes or attempting to go to URI, they can't do math or English, and they want to be a liberal arts major at URI, Rhode Island College. I just don't think, you know, I think her critics are right that we're not fixing K-12.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I've written before that, especially on a technical school and that kind of training for trades, that ought to be part of broader school choice policies in the secondary system. So where high school students can take some of the tax money that goes toward their education and go to take courses in a New England Tech type school. That's where we ought to be focusing. And, the idea that, you know, we ought to subsidize all higher education, first of all, you need to target it a little bit more so that it's clearer what government is trying to subsidize with its money, and more directly, something that's more directly like training really is a lot easier to follow and a lot easier to measure as the time goes forward.
Justin, hold on one moment, folks. We're going to take a break. Justin Katz is our guest from Ocean State Current. It's John DePietro on this Tuesday. Those on Facebook Live, you can hear me fine. Thank you for everyone. Again, you can watch us on Facebook Live. It's John DePietro Show on Facebook. But we're going to come back to Justin in just a moment. But, folks, I want to remind you about JKL Engineering. JKL, they are your choice. Call them today. The hot, hazy, hot, humid days are closer than you think. Let JKL Engineering design and install a Carrier Infinity system for your home or business. These Carrier systems, highest rebates in the market. Call JKL for a free estimate today. 351-7600. 351-7600. It's JKL Engineering. Call them today for a listen, be comfortable in your home. JKL Engineering, 351-7600. It's John DePietro. We're going to come right back with Justin Katz on the John DePietro Show.
Results will vary. Do you owe the IRS more than $10,000 in personal or business taxes and you can't afford to pay? You have the right to fast IRS tax relief. Join satisfied clients like Victoria. She owed the IRS $32,000. They accepted $300. She saved $31,700. Leroy owed $21,000. The IRS accepted $500, and he saved $20,500. Get fast IRS tax relief and save, too. Call 800-294-8182. Has the IRS threatened to shut down your business, freeze your bank accounts, take your home, your cars, or garnish your wages? You may qualify for special programs to stop this process. Get fast IRS tax relief. The industry experts with negotiating with the IRS. With an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call today and the IRS will be contacted the same day, putting a stop to bank levies and wage garnishments. Call the fast IRS tax relief hotline at 800-294-8182. 800-294-8182. That's 800-294-8182.
A trip to the movies is more expensive than ever. Ticket prices hit a record high this year, averaging $8.84. The average price last year, $8.79. That's a far cry from the average price in 1977 of $2.23 a ticket. But when the number is adjusted for inflation, it's actually higher than today's price. The films most moviegoers are spending their cash on are R-rated and adult-skewing titles.
It's John DePietro on this Tuesday as we are experimenting. Thank you for everyone. We're going to see if we can adjust Justin Katz on Facebook Live for those that want to tune in. Hey, I want to remember, we have good news on this Tuesday, and that is, have you heard, everyone is talking about Pine Ridge. That's right, Pine Ridge Indoor Shooting Range in Exeter. They're still accepting memberships, so become a member today. You can call Pine Ridge at 667-6133. Pine Ridge, accepting memberships. Hourly lane rentals are available to the public. The club is pristine, built to military specifications. Pine Ridge, 20,000 square foot state-of-the-art indoor shooting range. They are Rhode Island's largest indoor shooting range with three different ranges. Pine Ridge, gun store on the premises, featuring new and used handguns, rifles, pistols, shotguns. Call today and ask about a membership at Pine Ridge. They have a very professional, experienced, friendly staff. You can stop in and see them 560 South County Trail in Exeter or online at PineRidgeIndoorShootingRange.com. Call them 667-6133, and they have top-of-the-line, handmade, high-end quality guns like Nighthawk, Ed Brown, Kimber, Dan Wesson, and CZ, just to name a few. These are high-quality and available at Pine Ridge. Plenty of ammo, shooting accessories. It's Pine Ridge Indoor Shooting Range. Call them 667-6133, 667-6133.
Making afternoon radio great again. John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back on this Tuesday. Again, those on Facebook Live, thank you, Gregory Muse. We have a lot of people that are tuning in. Go to John DePietro Show on Facebook, folks. And again, this is nice. The audience is helping us as we're trying it with our guest, who is Justin Katz from Ocean State Current. And we're trying to just adjust his volume with the Facebook Live. All right, Justin, thank you for holding through the break, Justin.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Hey, Justin, I also want to get into, this is an interesting day, what's taking place in Providence. You don't see it every day, and that is, people always sometimes wonder, how can we get rid of an elected official? Well, today would be an example of it, and that is the possible recall election of Councilman Mark Jackson. Now, by all accounts, I mean, in any other situation, you'd think he would do the right thing and step down. But right now, in Providence, they're going to the polls to decide this guy who's under indictment, who is looking actually a lot of jail time, and yet he's still be able to keep his seat on the city council.
Well, yeah, you have to get to a pretty extreme situation before you've got recall elections happening. I have to say, honestly, I feel some sympathy for the guy. Campaign finance issues, I think, are, you know, regulation of politics. And private organizations, I mean, sure, he's being indicted, but that can be a separate thing from what you're doing in public as an elected official. But what strikes me, his long history, his story, is really one of needing term limits, because over time, just all the money starts to flow together in somebody's mind, and they get themselves into these kind of fixes. But I think, yeah, at this point, he's been doing it for a while. There's a hue and cry against him. I haven't heard an opposing hue and cry to keep him. So it would probably be best for him to save face and bow out. But at this point, I guess the voters are out there tallying or casting their votes as it is, so might as well see it through. But it is certainly an interesting thing, especially when you have the governor telling everybody how she's going to vote, and the it really starts to get into be a Rhode Island story when you consider the Secretary of State trying to pull levers to make sure this election happens. That makes it a kind of uniquely Rhode Island story.
Justin, you know what's also interesting, and that is the fact the vote that took place last week. Now, this has to do with the Community Safety Act, and all of a sudden, what I found most amazing, not the fact that the Providence police successfully lobbied the city council to go against this, which would be very dramatic, that has to do with gang members, that has to do with policing, that has to do with illegal showing IDs. But what I found, the real story here, is the mayor of the city was completely, Mayor Loza, completely unplugged and not tuned in as to what's going on, even saying that he didn't even know how the vote was going to go.
Yeah, that was surprising. I wonder if there's got some similarities in his story to the free tuition thing. I think, you know, it's not just the fact that the police union was lobbying against it. This act is genuinely bad. I mean, I've written how bad it is, and I heard back from people how the intention is really good and how dare I talk against it. But sometimes, you know, with this legislation and ordinances, the thing you want to do, the intention, isn't what you end up doing.
Right.
And I think maybe what happened was the city council got so swept up. I mean, what was surprising was the unanimous vote last week to pass the thing. I think they just got so swept up in the emotions of it, and maybe in this case the policemen were able to make them stop and say, well, stop and look at what you're actually doing. And maybe that was the key. What makes it surprising with respect to the mayor, Mayor Olorza, is that he would be, one, supporting that, and that he would be sort of on the losing end of this with his own police force. That's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah. And on top of that, you know, Justin, you don't hear a lot of members of the Democrat Party, you notice, come to Mayor Alors' defense. He almost seems to be like an island to himself. No one weighed in on this. Providence is on their own. You know, he's making the rounds. He went to Washington with the Sanctuary City situation. He was the one, you know, going along with these activist groups trying to put this forward. But, boy, you don't hear anything. You don't hear anything back from other people. You know, you didn't see Cicilline jump to his defense. You don't hear anyone jumping to his defense.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was a kind of a quiet issue. It almost seems like a small community issue until you start to really look into it. So I wonder if a lot of people, particularly within the Democrat Party, where you've got the union, strong union backing, and versus the progressive activists, it starts to get kind of, it doesn't take too much of a political spider sense to just notice that there's danger in this area of action from a government official. So I could see them really backing off for that reason. Let that be Mayor Alors' problem. I don't need that I don't need to try to navigate that battle between the activists who are asking for this really outrageously reckless legislation and the police officers union, which is rightly pushing back against it.
Folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. You're listening to us on AM 1540. It's WADK and on the line with us. And also, you can join us on Facebook. We're doing a Facebook Live with our guest, Justin Katz of OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, before I let you go, we talk to Justin every Tuesday at this time. Any articles that are on Ocean State Current that maybe you want to push or plug right now?
Well, I did put the numbers up there for Governor Raimondo's fundraising, but the story I think people really ought to pay attention to, and I link to it in that particular post, is this Wexford Brookings Raimondo connection. And that post, I'm linking to it again and again, and I wrote it back in December. That's becoming a bigger and bigger deal, I think.
All right, Justin, and one before we let you go, what do you make of Mattiello playing it close to the vest? You know, it's tough to tell. Other than the car tax, that really seems to be his only priority right now that he seems to be working on.
Well, you know, having watched the State House for 10 years or so pretty intensely, this time of year, the Speaker, I mean, it's actually surprising how kind of active the legislature is. Normally, you know, it's a bunch of hearings on bills that'll never get anywhere, and you wait until the budget comes out, and then within a few weeks, everything happens. So maybe that's a healthy sign that we're spreading out our political system a little bit through the course of the legislative session. It's not surprising that he's sticking to a few things, particularly with mysteries out there. You know, whatever President Trump and the House and the congressional Republicans do in Washington with regard to, say, health care and Medicaid is going to have huge implications. So there are a lot of mines out there in the political field right now. So, you know, politicians in Rhode Island have to kind of watch their step. They can't go too far right because the progressives feel invigorated recently, or incensed, however you want to see it. And they can't go too far left because that's just crazy.
He is the managing editor for Ocean State Current. He is Justin Katz. Again, Justin, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, John. Talk to you later.
All right. Folks, again, it's John DePietro. Thank you to everyone trying to we're trying to figure it out within the board. We'll get there. All of those on Facebook Live. Gregory Muse, thank you. Carrie or Terry Floyd joined as well. Lisa Vespia as well. You can go to John DePietro Show on Facebook. Click the like button. And again, we will straighten it out. You can also call in, folks, 846-1028. All right, let me just pause the Facebook Live until we get the audio straightened out. So, and then we'll go from there, folks. Again, coming up next hour, we'll have your tech segment as well. But remember, you can follow me on Facebook. It's John DePietro Show on Facebook. Thank you to Jacob. We're trying to straighten it out. It's got to be an easy way to do it. But for whatever reason, it is not, the sound was not clear on that. So we will, we'll get it back to normal, as we roll along on this Tuesday. So we'll take more of your phone calls. 846-1028. 846-1028. Folks, I want to remind you, Mother's Day is coming up, and nowhere better than Top of the Bay Restaurant. Why not call and make Mother's Day special today, or you make your reservation for Mother's Day at Top of the Bay Restaurant. It's coming up May 14th. Take Mom out for breakfast buffet at Top of the Bay Restaurant, Oakland Beach and Warwick, from 8:30 to 11:30 with all your mom's favorite breakfast items. Price per person, $14.95. Kids under 10, just $8.95. Top of the Bay is a great choice for this great day. You, mom, friends, and family can all enjoy the view overlooking the waters of Narragansett Bay. And from 12:30 throughout the day, enjoy Top of the Bay's special Mother's Day dinner menu. And again, it's coming up May 14th. So call now or book online your reservation at Top of the Bay, 921-3663, 921-FOOD. Or the website is topofthebayrestaurant.com. Top of the Bay, historic Oakland Beach, Warwick, waterfront dining at its best. Again, Mother's Day is coming up. It's coming up on Sunday, May 14th. So call now and make your reservation. The breakfast buffet is a fantastic deal at Top of the Bay, 8:30 to 11:30. All your mom's favorite breakfast items. It's very affordable. And what's also great about Mother's Day at Top of the Bay and the breakfast buffet is the fact that, you know, then you have the rest of the day free. So maybe you were, you know, you have your mother and then you have your mother-in-law. Well, take one of them to the breakfast buffet and then you spend the afternoon with either your mom or your mother-in-law. It's Top of the Bay for Mother's Day. Call now. Book your reservation for that breakfast buffet. It's a great deal. 8:30 to 11:30. 921-FOOD, 921-3663, or book your reservation online, topofthebayrestaurant.com. It's Top of the Bay in Warwick. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Remember, each afternoon from 1 to 5, right here, AM 1540, it's WADK. We're going to be back with a lot more on this Tuesday.
Imagine all the sleep you cost your mom through the years. As a crying baby, nightmares in grade school, and speaking of nightmares, let's not even talk about when you were a teenager. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Bull & Branch, and I'm going to help you give your mom the gift she deserves, a great night's sleep with a set of Bull & Branch sheets. Our sheets are handcrafted from 100% organic cotton, the softest she'll ever feel, and they get softer over time. We only sell at BullandBranch.com, so you get twice the quality at half the price. No middleman markups. Everyone loves Bull & Branch, even three U.S. presidents. We guarantee she'll love them too. That's why your mom can try them risk-free for 30 nights. They arrive beautifully packaged in our signature gift box. No wrapping needed. Now through Mother's Day, we'll give you $50 off your first set of sheets when you go to BullandBranch.com and use promo code SLEEP. That's BullandBranch.com, spelled B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Promo code SLEEP. That's BullandBranch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
It's not a real estate listing you see every day. A tiny southwestern timber town in Oregon is for sale. The If You Blink You Could Miss It town is on the market for $3.5 million for that price. You get six homes, the closed general store and gas station, the land under the post office, and some undeveloped parcels, as well as water rights and infrastructure that includes sidewalks, fire hydrants, and a working power station.
Now is the spring season. And folks, maybe you're buying a new home, maybe you're refinancing, or maybe you know someone that right now is in need of a mortgage. Well, there's never been a better time, and joining us right now from Homestar Mortgage is our friend Steve Tester. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hey, John, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Steve, how about a little bit of a mortgage update on this Monday?
Well, the mortgage rates are holding fairly steady right now. We're seeing a little bit of volatility in the market, but it's in a narrow margin, which means that the 30-year mortgage rates are holding right around a 4% mark for people with good credit. And we're seeing 15-year mortgages down around 3.25% right now. So the rates are holding very good. As many people know, the real estate market right now in Rhode Island is very robust, so we're encouraging people to make sure that they get pre-approved before they go out there to start looking for homes.
Folks, now we're speaking with Steve Tetzner, Homestar Mortgage. Now, Steve, not only do you specialize, I like this, you specialize renovation loans. So someone could buy a home and finance the improvements.
Yeah, this has been a very popular product over the years, John, with all of the distressed properties that we've had in Rhode Island with the foreclosures and people who have gone into short sales. And we have a special program that we work with that we do all in-house, which is a great program. We allow somebody to borrow the money not only to buy the home, but also the money they need to do any renovations on the home. And they can roll it all into one loan, and basically at the end of the project, when the house is complete, all the money's dispersed, and they're sitting in a regular 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Folks, call Steve Tetzner today, 447-4367. 447-4367. Call Steve Tetzner, Homestar Mortgage. Offices in Providence and Wakefield. Homestar Mortgage, one of Rhode Island's largest independent mortgage lenders. Call Steve, 447-4367.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're rolling through on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. This is John DePietro, your independent man. Each afternoon, 1 to 5, we are going to make afternoons great again right here with your help on AM 1540 WADK. Well, you can call in 846-1028. Maybe we'll try the Facebook Live. Again, I want to thank everyone that was at least attempting. A little bit of a technical glitch trying to get that up where you could hear the guest. Obviously, it was our intention so you could hear the guest. But those listening on the radio, again, doesn't mean you can't listen on the radio or listen online at WADK.com. You can also go to my website, DePietro.com. And remember, you have free apps for those with a smartphone, whether it be the Simple Radio app or whether it be the TuneIn Radio app. Both of them are free. And then you can listen to the program, or the same thing if you have Alexa, just search WADK, and boom, there we are in crystal clear audio. How about yesterday, folks, in Providence? Marchers protest racism, deportations. About 200 May Day marchers, this is yesterday in Providence, formed a sea of red flags and diversity as they moved from one symbolic site to the next to advocate for a living wage, equality, fairness, and environmental causes. Timed as part of International Workers Day, the march assembled at Burnside Park in Kennedy Plaza drew activists from community groups, trade unions, student organizations, religious groups, and opponents of fossil fuels. Next to a sign that said, "Stop the War on the Visibly Poor," one of the first speakers decried arrest in Burnside Park, saying they violated the rights of the homeless. You know what is amazing about this and some of the frauds that were out there is who is the mayor of Providence? Mayor Alorza. Who is the governor? Gina Raimondo. All of these people, they're all Democrats. This whole thing of racism. Where is the racism? Is Mayor Alorza guilty of racism? Is that what this is about? Is Governor Raimondo guilty of racism? Is that what this is about? Who are they protesting against? I don't understand this. There are no Republicans in high office in Rhode Island. Who are they mad at? Are they mad at Alorza? Then take it out on Alorza. I don't understand the whole... Who are they protesting against? 846-1028. Armando is in Warwick on the John DePietro Show. Good afternoon, Armando.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Very well, Armando. Go right ahead.
I just want to make a comment about the protests going on around the country and the protests going around in Providence. It's to me, in my opinion, it's all a farce. It's all to try to keep the excitement going. Racism, you know, when I was younger, a kid, a teenager, in my early 20s, whatever, it actually meant that, you know, it was actually hatred. It was actually hate against someone else that was different from you. Now it's just a catchphrase. These liberals are trying to keep this party going, if you will. I'm not sure if you're aware, but I just read today that Samantha Bee, that liberal irrehensible woman and her ridiculous show, her husband is trying to keep African-American students that are not as wealthy as themselves out of a public school, out of a zoning district. They're trying to practice, or they preach, but they never practice what they preach. And my thing is who's the real hater?
Right. Well, even yesterday, you know, all these people that were protesting, who are you protesting against? Mayor Alorza runs the city of Providence. Raimondo is the governor. If there's any type of, that's like when Governor Raimondo got up at the State House steps and said, "I'm tired of being treated like a second-class citizen." You're the governor of the state. Like, what the hell are you talking about? So, you know, Raimondo, if you're being treated as a second-class citizen, what is she doing about it? I don't even know what that means. Who's treating her like a second-class citizen?
It's a catchphrase, John.
Think of that. A woman who's in charge of the state, who's the governor, stands up on the State House steps and says, I'm tired of being treated like a second-class citizen in this state. How much more power does she want, for crying out loud?
I don't know, but that's, aren't you citizen number one when you're governor?
Yes.
I mean,
and what is she doing about it? And all these people that were protesting yesterday, we have the state is run by the Democrats and progressive Democrats. Alors is a progressive, and Raimondo's a progressive. So if they're upset that the way that all these protesters, that the way they're being treated in Rhode Island, what more could you possibly ask for? I don't know
That's
what more they could do, you know? I mean, no hate in our state. What are they talking about? These people have lost their
mind. They're so blind.
Yes.
They're so blind, and the Democrats, the leadership in the state is, listen, we don't have to make sense. We just got to keep them rallying. That's what they're saying. We just got to keep them rallying and excitement because we can't have them not show up on election day.
Yes. No, that's
but,
a, that's
but
a,
you're absolutely right, John. The one that if anybody's going to be protesting anybody, it's the people in charge.
Yes.
And that's Jorge Alorza.
Yes. I mean, thank you for the call, Armando. I mean, folks, doesn't that strike you funny when Raimondo, you know, she was up there, I'm tired of being treated like a second-class citizen, and, you know, all these people that were protesting yesterday. Let me pull up a little bit of the Channel 12 story on this.
In recent years to promote immigrants' rights, and protesters in the capital city used today's march to call attention to a more recent controversy at City Hall. Eyewitness News reporter Caroline Goggin joins us now live from the Providence Mobile Newsroom. Caroline?
Well, Mike and Shannon, this May Day march started in downtown Providence at Burnside Park. It made almost a dozen stops, but probably the most controversial one was right behind me outside of City Hall.
This is Juan Garcia, our friend that was on with us last week. He's giving the speech.
A familiar chant in a similar setting. Hundreds of Rhode Island residents blocking off parts of Providence once again, this time marching for International Workers' Day.
It's a celebration of, you know.
They're all in red. The guy that she's talking to, red, revolution. You know, these people just looking and searching for a cause.
Workers' rights and immigrant rights and social.
You're in the city of Providence with the mayor of the city admits that his parents came here illegally. Alorza. What? It's a sanctuary city. What the hell more do you people want? Immigrants' rights. It's a sanctuary city. No one's being deported. He wants to give out fake IDs. You people still aren't happy. They should be carrying around on their shoulders like the Romans.
Justice issues.
Josh Kilby was part of the May Day planning committee. He says the demonstration is an opportunity to highlight social issues that plague the capital city.
There's a whole bunch of issues that we're going to be tackling today. Environmental, the Community Safety Act.
Environmental. The drug addicts and the homeless drop cigarette butts all over the place and leave litter and go to the bathroom around Kennedy Plaza. And you're concerned about environmental situations? These people for real? Was this frauds on parade?
It's something that's very important to all of us.
Oh, I could tell. Real important. Environmental issues in Burnside
Highlight
Park
social issues
with the panhandlers?
The capital city.
There's a whole bunch of issues that we're going to be tackling today. Environmental, the Community Safety Act is something that's very important to all of us.
Community Safety Act would erase the records of gang members in Providence and make it that the police can't stop people if they go through a stop sign or they breeze through a red light. That's what they consider issues. These malcontents.
That was evident when marchers made it to their fifth stop, Providence City Hall.
I'm here because I was so stunned when the TSA was, like, stymied last week. What happened?
More than a dozen Providence police officers oversaw Monday's rally, providing an escort for the mile-and-a-half-long march.
Let's work with the...
You know, these people knock the police, and then they accept the police escort. And the police are escorting them through the city. So what rights are they talking about?
Police and get a secure situation for this city.
Secure situation? You people want to take power away from law enforcement, give it to gang members, and they're marching around yesterday with a police escort. I mean, could you? The only one missing was Elizabeth Warren.
Hundreds of Rhode Island residents blocking out parts of Providence once again, this time marching for International Workers' Day.
It's a celebration of, you know, workers' rights and immigrant rights and social justice issues.
Josh Kilby was part of the May Day.
Hold on. Let me just be very clear about this. And again, folks, you can call in. 846-1028. It's John DePietro on this Tuesday. I don't know how else to explain this again. If you come here illegally, you don't have any rights. I don't know why they continue to insist. If I go to Germany, I don't have the rights as a German. Or if I go to, I'm part Irish, part Italian. If I go to, I'm an American citizen. I don't have any rights. What are they talking about? They don't have any rights. They're in here illegally. What? Illegals have rights. Based on what? These people just make this stuff up as they go along. And Allores is the mayor.
Planning committee. He says the demonstration is not...
that idiot again.
Island residents blocking out parts of Providence once again. This time marching for International Workers' Day.
It's a celebration of... you know, workers' rights and immigrant rights and social justice issues.
Josh Kilby was part of the May Day planning committee.
Yeah, none of them actually work. They just like to march around.
He says the demonstration is an opportunity to highlight social issues that plague the capital city.
There's a whole bunch of issues that we're going to be tackling today. Environmental, the Community Safety Act is something that's very important to all of us.
That was evident when marchers made it to their fifth stop, Providence City Hall.
I'm here because I was so stunned when the TSA was, like, stymied last.
That was the regulation she's referring to that would have basically declawed the police department.
This week, what happened?
More than a dozen Providence police officers oversaw Monday's rally, providing an escort for the mile-and-a-half-long march.
Let's work with the police and get a secure situation for this city.
Yeah, by turning it into a sanctuary city. I guess that's one way you could secure the city. That's one way to possibly do it. That was all the big marchers yesterday in Providence, marching around. Of course, no one, well, I guess a lot of the people, you could call in sick to work. A lot of people were saying, you know, call in sick, don't go in. But I don't know how much it affected that crowd. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. You can call in 401-846-1028. I want to say a special hello to Dan and Deb. I am friendly with their brother, and they are both having health challenges. I had a wonderful conversation with their brother this morning, who I miss, who is visiting in town. But a special hello to Dan and Deb. And I also want to say hi to Ryan and Kelly, who I met this morning. Right on Quaker Lane, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But, folks, I want to remind you, you know, you pick up the headlines. It's frightening, isn't it? With all the tick and mosquito, and this is going to be a bad season. That's why you need American Deer Proofing, their tick and mosquito spray service. Long-lasting, up to 4 weeks, 8 active, eco-friendly ingredients, comprehensive spray program, targets tick and mosquitoes in your lawn or anywhere a mosquito likes to hide. It won't harm your bushes. Help protect your family today from diseases such as Lyme and Zika, to name a few. Give them a call today for a free quote. 792-8900. American Deer Proofing. Get their tick and mosquito spray service. 792-8900. It's safe around children and pets. What I am so impressed about American Deer Proofing is they go out of their way, folks. 8 active, eco-friendly ingredients. They spray the bushes without harming your plants. They'll protect your family and pets today. They apply it to plants, mulch beds, under decks, directly on grass. For over 15 years, American Deer Proofing has been developing eco-friendly repellent solutions. The formulas are safe to use around children and pets and guaranteed to work. From deer and rabbit repellent to tick and mosquito protection, American Deer Proofing has you covered. Call them today for a free quote, 792-8900. Now listen, whether you're in Westerly or Narragansett or Newport or North Providence or Portsmouth or Pawtucket, don't take any chances. Cranston or Coventry, don't take chances with tick and mosquito. Call American Deer Proofing for the Tick and Mosquito Spray Service, 792-8900. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls, 401-846-1028.
WADK AM 1540, WADK.com, and Corrigan Financial present high school baseball and softball action featuring all three of Aquidneck Island schools. Join Bob Angel for the play-by-play brought to you by
Midtown Oyster Bar, O'Brien's Pub, Newport Propane, Coddington Brewing Company, Newport Insurance Agency, Clements Marketplace, A1 Roofing and Construction, the Newport Gulls, the Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, R&R Construction, One Stop Building Supply Center, West Main Pizza, Gary's Handy Lunch, and by Corrigan Financial.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. Police have a new high-tech tool in their arsenal. A company called StarChase has developed a GPS-based tracking device that can be deployed during high-speed pursuits. With the press of a button, the device shoots out from the grill of the police unit and sticks on the suspect's car.
Once we deploy these devices on the vehicle, the officers can start backing off, and then we'll be able to track the vehicle instead of chasing it.
Lieutenant Robert Wright is with the Tustin Police Department in Southern California.
GPS device on it, which allows the dispatchers and our units to track where the vehicle's going.
He says the Star Chase device helps minimize risk.
It will be, safer for the citizens, safer for our officers, and probably ultimately for the suspect, too.
Officers will still follow normal protocols for chases. This just gives them another crime-fighting tool.
This will not stop us from pursuing or apprehending these suspects. We will just not be pursuing them in a speeding vehicle.
With Tech Trends, I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The most entertaining show on your radio, John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. It is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro program. Each afternoon, 1 to 5, here I am, AM 1540, and it's WADK. Well, you can call in, 846-1028. A lot of people email me. That's fine. It's john@depietro.com. john@depietro.com. As always, visit the website, depietro.com, DEPETRO.com. All different ways that you can listen to the program. And then, folks, follow me on social media, whether it's Facebook and or whether it's on Twitter. It's John DePietro Show. Now, next hour, we're going to take more of your phone calls. Again, first-time callers are welcome on this Tuesday, 401-846-1028. We'll bring you up to speed on some of the news of the day. I think major news has to do, though, with just the amount of obscene fundraising that Governor Raimondo is involved in. It is nonstop. And this really motivates what her decisions come down to. You watch that Chicago no-bid contract that she gave out with the state police that's under investigation. You watch. That's tied to fundraising. That woman, Betsy Wall, that Governor Raimondo hired for the failed tourism bid of cooler and warmer. Why do you think she hired Betsy Wall? She was a fundraiser for John Kerry. Everything comes back to fundraising. And the same thing with the PR agencies that handle the PR of tourism for the state. Why do those New York firms, why do they get the contracts? Because they get the puff pieces written about her that appear in the New York Times and the Washington Post and all these other, you know, remember, how about last year? Remember the husband was in Glamour magazine? I mean, it is just one thing after another. So we'll take more of your phone calls, 846-1028. We have our tech update coming up with our friend Sal from Elite Wireless next hour. And then we will close down with Crazy Time, brought to you by Overhead Door. Comes your way at 4:55, 10 seconds, anything you want. And Crazy Time belongs to the people. So it's John DePietro, two big hours to go. Stay with us on this Tuesday.